All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the HTA2 Proposed Rule Task Force meeting. I'm Seth Pazinski, and I'll be serving as your designated federal officer from the HHS Assistant Secretary for Technology Policy today. As a reminder, this meeting is open to the public. Public feedback is welcome throughout using the Zoom chat feature, and we'll also have time scheduled at the end of our agenda for verbal public comments. I'm going to begin with a roll call. When I call your name, if you could please indicate that you are present. I'm going to start with our co-chairs, Bryant Thomas-Karas.
Present.
Rochelle Prosser.
Present.
Mark Sendak.
Present.
Suresh Ballou.
Good morning. Present.
Morning. Shiloh Blend. Hans Bootendijk.
Good morning.
Morning. Suna Davenport. Derek DeYoung.
Good morning.
Morning. Steve Eichner.
Good morning. Present.
Morning. Lee Fleischer. Hannah Galvin. Raj Gavarti. Jillian Haney.
Present.
Joel Hartzell.
Present.
Stephen Hester. Aaron Holt Coyne. Jim Jurgis. Mary Beth Carrillo.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hung Liu.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dominic Mack. Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister. Katrina Miller Parrish.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chris Mork.
I am here.
Morning. Alex Muggy. Shantuna Nundi. Eliel Oliveira. Kiki Loma Ashukantan.
Good morning, I'm present.
Good morning. Rhonda Perkins.
Good morning.
Good morning. Dan Riskin.
Good morning.
Good morning. Phil Sutherland. Zanep Sumar King. Naresh. Thank you. Naresh Sundar Rajan.
Good morning.
Good morning. Cheryl Turney. I did get a message that Ray Walker will unfortunately not be able to join us today. And Thomas Wilkinson. Okay, I see also that Alex Muggy has joined, thank you. Is there any members that I missed or who just joined that would like to indicate that they're present? Okay, and I'm going to turn it over to our co-chairs to get us into our agenda. Bryant, Mark, and Rochelle, over to you.
My camera got turned off. There we go. Thank you so much. Deeply honored to be working and leading the group one, and can't believe how much we've gotten through in the time we've had, and how much we're going to accomplish this week. Really looking forward to recombining and working together to get the transmittal to a ready state. I'll turn it over to my co-chairs.
Thank you for the time. Looking forward to getting through everything as much as we can, and appreciate everyone's contributions to this. Rochelle, anything you wanted to add?
Rochelle, you're on mute.
Okay, can you hear me better?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I'm Rochelle Prosser with the co-chair three, for section three, and really want to thank everyone's hard work in going through the different areas, and really look forward to the comments from the larger group where we've come to an agreement, and really have enjoyed this process. So thank you everyone for your time. Next slide, please. Seth, back to you.
Yeah, so we, for both today and the meetings for the rest of this week, are going to be working through the draft recommendations from each of the groups and coming to consensus around what the task force will submit as their final recommendations. So we have about 4.5 hours over the next 3 days to work through all of the draft recommendations. We're going to start with group two, aim to get through as much of that today as we can, and then move into group three. And then the general approach is going to be to aim for items that we can reach consensus on. And if we do run into recommendations that are going to require some more significant discussion, that we flag those to come back to once we get through the initial pass through the group recommendations. So with that, I'm going to move us into group two. And if we can transition the to the Google Doc, and I'll turn it over to Mark to get us started.
Thank you. So, okay, perfect. Thank you, Sarah, for sharing your screen. So as Seth mentioned, I am part of group two. So we're the subgroup that focused on certification. So second worksheet in the Google Doc that I think everyone, at least on the call, has access to. And Sarah, did you subset the rows just to those with green text, or are we going to see all of them as we go through these?
Oh, we will see each topic, including the ones that don't have green text, so that the whole task force could see, but if that works for you, but I'll defer to you.
Sounds good. Maybe to help us go through these, something that we could do is if we could show the column with the section text right next to column J. Let me pull up Google Doc. We'll just have to hide a bunch of the columns.
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Perfect.
Oh. Almost there. Okay, how does that look?
Perfect.
Great. Okay, and I think for this we'll have 3 minutes to start with the first topic.
Okay, so I know this is a big group. Our subgroup has agreed to a bunch of feedback, what we highlighted in green. I'll give folks maybe 30 seconds to read this. Also, if you want to pull up the Google Doc yourself so you see it. So we are overall supportive of USCDI V4. We just wanted to also emphasize that there's still gaps in USCDI and name some of the potential gaps. Are there any other comments that folks on this call would like to include in this or change?
I have a question, Mark. Why is birth order for minors so important? Is it when you have children with the same first and last names?
Yeah. This is Mary Beth Carrillo at the American Immunization Registry Association. I'd be happy to speak to that. And that's primarily when we're getting data from birthing hospitals, that it helps to differentiate between twins who may have very similar information.
Okay, that helps a lot. Thank you.
Sure.
Hans?
Just a quick note, lot number is not only proposed for version 5, it is in version 5.
Okay, so we can...
Right, the other ones are still future opportunities.
Just change that.
The other one, medical record number, since patient identifier is in there, it's one of the ones that is widely supported. So I'm not sure whether we need to mention all of these examples that are actually already supported from an identifier perspective.
I just removed the MRN.
Okay.
Hi, this is Jillian Haney from CSTE. I would actually strongly recommend including medical record number because I thought that there was some controversy around actually naming that because there was some concern that that it could be used as a national ID or something to that effect.
Maybe. What I'm thinking is if we can't, Hans, what's your response to that? Because if we can't reach consensus on this, then
I'm okay to leave it in. It's
okay.
It's fine to keep it in. It's just, it's so widely supported.
Okay. So we'll leave it in. Any other comments before we move to the next one? Okay. So let's go to row 4. So I'll give folks, can we blow that up, Sarah? Zoom in a little bit. Perfect. So yeah, there was one issue here related to the implementation guidance being referenced and whether that guidance was finalized. Rochelle?
Yes, can we move the document up a little bit? I just wanted to see the end of it. And then my concern is where smart cards had to be taken down because of implementation processes that didn't work, or the flow of information wasn't accurate. And so after spending a lot of money, the county had to take it down in certain states. And so I'm just wondering, is there a backup where the county or the government actually had to take the smart card down? For example, in Florida, they had smart cards for driver's license and it was such a fiasco, they took it down. So you no longer can use that.
That may be a different type of smart card, Rochelle.
This
is the HL7 smart, which I don't think were part of driver license.
Okay.
But SMART gets used a lot as an acronym, and we should probably put specification of which SMART we're talking about. But SMART Health Cards and SMART Health Links are specific HL7 implementation type for QR codes.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Hans?
A clarification that there was in group one public health a similar kind of comment, and that's where we worked on some references to SMART versus HL7 Fire SMART, and then the rest. For example, SMART Health Card Vaccination Testing Implementation Guide is an HL7 Fire guide that's being referenced. So it's not SMART, but it's HL7 Fire SMART. The smart health cards are smart, they're not HL7, but HL7 has a HL7 Fire smart health cards and links implementation guides that is in ballot right now. So I think we worked on something in group one, and they seem to be different in where I thought we landed in what is described here and where I thought we landed with F1 in group one. So look at
my own head is spinning with these different references. Maybe I'll just add something saying we need to specify, scroll up a little, Sarah, so you can see what I just added. We need to specify which are smart and which are HL7 fire smart. Would that be helpful?
That would address part of it. Mary Beth and Bryant, is the version that we had in group one, the one that we believe is most appropriate for the references to that, to align with this?
Yeah, although I believe we can't, the ASTP folks can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we can't reference something that's an HL7 ballot, but yet hasn't yet passed and been published.
Right.
Well, and this is Mary Beth. I'm wondering if we could just make a note to reconcile group one's input, which I think there were a lot of iterations there, but we want to make sure we're bringing the most recent iteration forward. So just reconcile what's in group one's input with group two's input and make sure they line up.
Yeah, because the other part is that smart health cards from Smart is published. The HL75 smart health cards and links is not published. It's in ballot. And the smart HL7 Fire Smart Health Cards Vaccination Testing Implementation Guide is not published. So it was quite confusing with the names being similar. What's actually published, what's in ballot, and what's therefore available.
Yeah. But functionally, what I think is key and we want to be supportive of is that Smart Health Cards has been out in use and successfully integrated HL7 data directly into people's smartphones, which is the other kind of smart we're dealing with here, successfully since the early days of the pandemic. And I think we really want to support it moving forward.
And the question is, can we do that without consistently in a certified manner, without the HL7 Fire Smart Health Cards Vaccination and Testing Implementation Guide? That's not published, it's not in ballot, it's unclear where that sits. That's the concern, that only certifying to smart health cards, is that going to get where we want to be without the vaccination IG, unless it's published? That's where we would have a concern that ramping it up wider through certification, it yields inconsistency that the IG is helping prevent.
So just to keep us moving, I don't know, for ASTP folks, I don't think it makes sense in this cell to write anything about reconciling with group one. But how do we make sure, just to flag that for the conversation I think we'll have on Wednesday?
I'll make a note to flag this, and also to follow up, Hans, I did follow up with OTEC about those immunization, the smart health, but we had some people out, so we're still working on it, but we should be able to get you some clarification on that soon, hopefully.
Okay.
But I'll make a note, Mark, flagging this for discussion either tomorrow or Thursday.
Okay.
Would you like me to scroll to the next topic?
I mean, I just want to make sure. So for this one, other than clarifying SMART versus HL7 Fire SMART, and then reconciling with group one, any other comments on the text that's in here to change?
I guess this is Steve. I guess in general phase, maybe need to figure out a way of reconciling the different labels. Not for us to do, but recommend that ONC work with stakeholders to resolve naming. Otherwise, this is going to be a continued issue.
So I'll add something saying recommend ASTP work with stakeholder groups to, like, normalize?
Or reconcile naming conventions across different implementations of SMART, or different implementations of SMART concepts. like that.
Cool. So I added that sentence at the top.
Otherwise, I think we're going to be really confused for a long time about what does smart mean.
I feel like I'm in good company, at least.
Friendly amendment, Mark. I'd change it from stakeholders to partners.
Perfect. I will do that.
In some cases, the people that they need to work with are the actual authorities.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to row 5. You can scroll down, Sarah. So this is about resolving for bulk data queries. Any comments on this text? If not, then we will go to row 6. I'll give folks one last chance. Anything to change for row 5?
We've still got the overall issue about bulk and subscription not being well tested in the field.
You're saying that there needs to be further testing of the bulk data access implementation?
Yes. Or at least after the question, there's been so little testing. One of the challenges about both bulk and subscription is that it's not just a matter of the technical function of the EHR. It's also functionally reliant on what server capacity and network capacity actually exists. And there's been very little real world testing or demonstration of those activities. So is it a little too premature to insert bulk data in certification criterion, especially without having a factor about volume as an element? What does it mean to certify bulk capacity if you can't support X number of transactions in Y time period?
I added a line about recommend additional testing. Does that address your concern, Ike?
I think so. It's not necessarily testing as part of certification. It's testing prior to certification.
Okay.
Are we ready to certify in this space? Has there been enough demonstrable work about bulk tests, about bulk transactions, to understand the actual input or the actual impact of operationalizing it? How many systems that are deployed to support what kind of bulk transactions with their existing hardware? Or you're suddenly, if you're looking at bulk transactions, you need much more hardware capacity. Does anybody have an answer to that? I don't know that much work has been done in that space.
Okay, so I changed the language to recommend additional testing prior to certification.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. If this looks good, we'll go to row 6. Fix a typo. Any comments on this one? This is about the trust community. OK. Yeah. If this looks good, we can go to row 8. Sorry, I meant row 7. I know that this one, there was lots of discussion in our group about. Just fix the tape then. Any comments about this one?
Is there a thought as to how they would demonstrate a successful connection? Like, are you looking for a pop-up or something like that? Like, what are you looking for in that criteria to suggest that they were demonstrating a successful connection?
So,
leave it open just so that there's flexibility?
Yeah, I think we left it open. If I remember right from our subgroup, it was Cheryl who led this one. I think Hans, yeah, if you want to chime in at all.
Yeah, I think it was Cheryl who was voicing that, and it would be not a production necessarily, but a connection, a successful connection with one of the at least test environments of one of these networks to demonstrate that it can connect and it can get data back and forth in accordance with that. So not necessarily operational live, but at least in a test environment, demonstrate that. That was the intent from Cheryl's perspective.
Thank you for that.
Any other comments on this one? Okay. If not, then let's go to row 8. Any comments on this? Then let's go to row 10. And Sarah, if you can zoom in again, that way folks can read in column J more easily. Thank you.
I got stuck on the mute. On the last one, there was some reference to G20. I want to make sure folks in our work group make sure that that's in alignment, or we can double check that tomorrow.
So Sarah, maybe if we just want to add a note to this one too for tomorrow. I guess.
Yeah, we'll do.
Brian.
Yeah. I think that's just a general comment that because the certification work that you're doing does have some overlap with the public health certification. So, you know, it's kind of a duh. We don't want to conflict with each other.
Yeah, right. This is Stephen. I think one of the concerns I had about A20 is that what could be the queries that might be requested from public health, and how does that play into potential information blocking? If there are not bounds on what was supported through the API. In other words, if the API were constrained for public health to any of the published implementation guides, that would give us an opportunity to reasonably respond. But if it's any data query at all that could possibly come through the API,
yeah,
that becomes much more complicated for us to support. We don't have a huge technical staff looking at resolving virtually customized API data requests.
Absolutely. Well, we'll get to that tomorrow. But yeah, they have EHR systems have a 10-year head start on us on being ready for all this.
So maybe I'll just change the language to say this more modular approach should also be considered and aligned with the G10 and G20 criteria.
Well, if we were to say aligned with the PHAs for G20, I can see and understand Stephen's concern that if we have it available on the EHR side, but on the or HIT certified software side by the provider, the PHA stills don't have the ability to access that, then we are kind of creating it out of sync. So I think alignment would be helpful. Also that, and this is more on the provider side, I think the intent here is to say that G10 and G20, but now for public health specifically, G20, may contain data that certain certified HIT does not need to support. So we just want to be careful that we are asking software, specialized EHRs, et cetera, support data that they're not the right source to get from. So that was part of the intent behind this comment, to make sure that the modular approach would be helpful to do that as well with G10 and G20 to support the data that you manage.
So Hans, just to make sure I understood the implication of what you were saying, did you want to change it to, if you see the language now, it says should be considered in G10 and aligned with G20? Did you want to change it so it's not saying aligned with G10 and G20?
I think it should be considered, looking at it, is as considered in G10 and G20, and maybe drop the word aligned with.
Okay.
That might not be necessary.
And Hans, this is Steve. Friendly amendment and reconciled against applicable information blocking requirements.
Okay, wait, let me see if I can come up with something.
Yes, Steve, if you want to drop specific text you want to insert into the chat, it can make it easier to.
Yeah, thank you. Good idea. Thank you.
Yeah, how about that? I say considered in G10 and G20 and reconciled with the relevant information blocking requirements.
That's great.
Okay, we're getting it. Okay, let's go on to row 10. Any comments on this one?
Perhaps inserting one extra word after initial use, after initial experience or initial use experience, but that using the term experience might be a little bit more clear there.
Is this at the top?
It's this first dash, ASTP-ONC considers the ability to draw on the initial use of, use the term experience in that sentence.
Initial experience?
Yeah. Okay. Just a little bit clear.
So is there something in the next bullet down, the first three or four words that needs to get fixed? It reads a little peculiarly, I think.
Yeah, I think the HIT data holder supporting dynamic.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, the last bullet too has the extra HIT. Oh, sorry. And a repeated word. Question for ASTP folks, is there any copy editing of our recommendations? If there's repeated words or like?
Yeah, just I would just focus on the content. We'll be cleaning these up once we get the final versions for the transmittal and for the slides.
Awesome, cool. Yep. Anything else for row 10 before we go to row 12? Okay, then let's go to row 12. I do want to clarify, I don't actually remember who proposed this change. When we say should be managed by IT, is this like IT within the delivery organization or the developer, like the certified developer?
It is the IT development slash software rather than the end user clinician. It's not back to the developer.
Okay, wait, can you repeat that, Hans? I'm confused. So you're saying it's not the EHR vendor, but it's the IT group within the delivery organization.
Slash software, yes. Yeah, so that it's not, the intent is to make sure that it's not the user clinician necessarily, that it can and should be managed without having the end user clinician facing party or the end user clinician involved in that, trying to reduce burden. And okay, the way it read is that it sounded like it needs to be done there. And
it's, right. It's an IT process, not a clinical workflow process.
Right.
Okay, so I added language to help clarify that. And Rochelle, go ahead.
No, I think you asked the question in the initial framing of who the responsibility went to in managing that. So thank you.
Maybe we'll refine it offline, which should be managed by the IT operations. I would say group within the delivery net organization because lots of individual providers don't have an IT group.
Okay, I changed that.
So IT operations supporting the clinician is probably the best way of doing it. That way we're abstracting it far enough that it doesn't matter whether it's within the organization or HIT vendor or whoever.
Cool. So change that. Okay, let's go to row 15. And Bryant, just want to confirm, you want us to, Sarah, can you narrow row column J? Yeah, perfect. Bryant, does that help? Yeah, we may just have to, let me select the column, make sure that we're wrapping. Ah, now row width is messed up. Okay. So let's look at row 15.
Now you could hide column A to get a little more space.
We can probably hide A through B through D also.
D is handy.
It's helpful. Okay, then let's just hide B and C. Yeah.
Perfect. Plenty of room now.
Any comments on row 15? So Rochelle, the lines we're skipping didn't have edits that were proposed and agreed upon by group two. Okay, if 15 looks good, let's go to 17.
Yeah, we had, Mark, we had similar comments in our certification criteria where, you know, the term bidirectional wasn't specific enough, you know, which business unit and which business unit was responsible for what and what, I think is a kind of a general comment. We need clarification throughout the proposed rule.
Is there something in the preamble that explains what the B2B is referencing? And do we want to, if there is something there, do we want to keep it there, or do we want to outline it slightly here for example or explanation within the rule or as a, or with the flexibility of ONC? I'll leave that to ONC to just answer.
I am not sure if we specifically use B2B. I think we do because this is taken from the proposed rule summary. But if you want to make that recommendation, that would be fine.
I think that would be better to recommend than or clarify what they mean and whether and leave that with the flexibility of ONC to provide that, whether it's a fact sheet or recommendation or added to the rule. Mark or anyone else?
Yeah, I'm just adding that. I'll add a line about recommend adding information about B2B definition.
Thank you.
Does that address the concern, Rochelle, in row 17?
Absolutely.
Cool. Anything else for row 17?
There is a there is in the rule a statement on what B2B means, but I would still agree it's helpful to clarify that because there's the provider, there's the patient, there's the B2B. What's really the difference when used? But they do spell it out somewhere.
Let's go to row 20.
Should this be synced in the same fashion that J22 is being used in other place? And we are making a comment in F1, and there was one in the other place, health cards in G20, I believe it was. They all should be related and consistent with each other. So I'm not sure whether they already are. So here it's indicated it's optional in G10. Then there are some comments that would indicate that that we have some concerns about adoption, depending on what it is, or that we would like to, but need some more guidance, particularly around F1. So I think I'm not sure whether we are totally aligned between the three places where this came up.
So just to make sure I understand what So recommend aligning across, you said F1, or the other two, Hans?
Yeah, in F1, we have comments around health cards and vaccination. And then I believe the other one was G10, where the comment was in group two. So group one and group two. And this is J22, which is, I believe, only referenced in F1.
Okay.
But that's the confusing part with these three, how much they address each other.
Okay, so I just added that to the end of row 20.
So just to double check, make sure that they are synced.
Thanks, Hans. And it's, and I think, again, we're at that issue of smart health cards versus smart health links.
Yes, and
we can table that. I don't want to get us more behind.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go to row 25. So row 25 through 30, I think all have similar recommendations. So maybe we can do that whole chunk together. Any feedback for 25 through 30? Okay. How about 31? I think this is also about the mostly language improving the clarity.
I think though I'm strongly supportive of the change you guys made, because client doesn't necessarily to me specify provider. So I like the change.
Perfect. Sarah, because row 33 is black and not green, I see that I made a note here for Hans and Steven to clean up the language. Hans and Steven, did you have a chance to, or if not, anything you want to do to that now? I just want to keep us moving forward too.
I made the cleanup.
I did, okay. So then let's change that to green. Any comments from others on the call about row 33?
Can you narrow E a bit again? I'm losing the edge of it. Maybe it's just my screen.
Are we still displaying? Because I cannot see the flow sheet.
Yes, we are, Hung. I see it, and I'm assuming others on the call see it, or do others on the call not see this?
I got it, Mark.
I see it.
Hung, I'm not sure then how your displays are set up.
It was working, but now all I see are other speakers, and I do not see the flow sheet. I might try to rejoin and see if that works.
Yeah, you can try in the top right again with view, gallery, and then the person whose screen is sharing right now is Sarah McGee. Okay, so any other comments on row 33? Lot of empty lines. Okay. So then let's go to 34. I may try to go a little faster because we got 8 minutes and probably another 10, but we're getting there. Any comments on 34?
And Mark, if we get through my sections a little faster, I'm happy to circle back.
Sounds good. Okay, if 34 looks good, let's go to 35. Sorry, what is IDP? I probably wrote this, but I've already forgotten.
Is that ID and password? That's what I'm thinking. It's meaning when multiple factor authorization, which would be the two-step with the, or one of those apps that provide multi-factor with the passcode and a number, a code you have to put in. So ID and password is what I'm assuming it means.
I just changed that. IDP looks like it could also be identity provider with that spelling.
Oh, and C, can you help us clarify?
And
this was, I'm not sure what Mark might have meant by this, but I can look in the rule real quickly while y'all discuss and see if we use that particular phrase real quickly.
It may be something that's referenced in full text in the hidden columns now, but
mm-hmm. And I'm also thinking as a tech builder that some of the workarounds that we have when somebody doesn't have a smartphone and cannot access a cellular application or web browser application, it would be using their own email ID or created ID and a password that they're bringing with them. That's my understanding from looking at APIs and using multiple factor authentication.
Yeah,
I'm trying to find in the text as well to get more clarity. It's indeed if they bring their own, it might not work with the multi-factor authentication capabilities that we're certified to. So I think we just need to make sure that aligns. Otherwise, it might not work.
Yeah, can we move on from this one while we clarify in the abundance of time?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
So we'll go to 36. Any comments on that one?
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. Sorry.
Okay, then let's go to 38.
And this is Sarah from ASTP. I was going to say, if we can't figure out IDP in this meeting, I can go back and try to figure out the discussion from the previous meeting to identify it, if that's helpful.
That'd be super helpful. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Same issue here. Mark, do you remember what EPA?
Oh, that's electronic prior auth.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to be sure.
Yeah, so I will spell that out. So if no comments for 38, let's go to 39. 39 and 40 are actually very similar, so we'll do both of those together. Those look good. Let's go to 42. Any comments for 42?
So I live in one of these states. This is an offline talk. Never mind. It's an offline topic. I would say further clarification. I'll go do the lookup for myself. Thank you.
Thank you, Rochelle. Okay, so then we'll go to 45.
These were global comments, recommendations that were added by group two that don't tie to a particular proposal for the group's awareness.
Yeah, we've got three of them, 45, 46, and then the last one is 49, 48. Oh, need to change that. Okay. If no comments for 46, let's go to 48. And this is similar to the ones above. Maybe just to note for ASTP staff, if you want to kind of tie these together, I'm sure that that would be okay and improve clarity. Okay, we are at noon. I think we're done for group two.
Wow, Mark, you're amazing.
Great job. And thank you to Chris. I understand you have to leave at noon, so thank you for your input. This was wild, Mark. You had a lot.
Thank you, everybody. It's been a few busy few weeks.
All right, I guess it's my turn. So if we can scroll, we didn't organize our spreadsheet like yours, Mark, but we have the rule in E, and maybe we can compress E to put it right beside J, and then go, just for the sake of time. Okay, so in the first one, go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Okay. All right. So I have not, for the purpose of the spreadsheet, if the entire row in column in J or the item is in green, we came to consensus from the group. And so we just left it as recommendations. Oh, that's really tiny there, Sarah. Okay, that's great. And so for the purpose of row number two, are we in agreement with row number two in section J? And can we put a timer, please? Please act. Can we do a timer? Thank you. Can we slide it a little bit to the right? We've cut off a few words. There we go. Oh, too much. Oh, all right. It's can we shrink J a little bit? Oh, Ben. Thank you, Ben. Okay. Thank you, Brian. Are there any comments on row two in column J? All right, I'll take your silence as you agree. So we can come to agreement on that and paint it green and we can clean it up. All right, row three. Basically we support the proposal. Row three. Can we start the timer again? Act on. Yes, thank you. 2 minutes is good. All right. I'm not hearing any or seeing any hands. Can we go on to row four? So in row four, We have a few suggestions, but we came into agreement on the work group recommends ASTE add explicit language that any actor who acts in good faith adopts an expansive interpretation of reproductive care is covered in protecting care access. Does anyone have any comment on rule number four? Nope. Okay, we'll make that green with the rest of it, with the other recommendations as well. Going on to rule number five. Is everyone in agreement or has any comment on rule number five? Can we put up a 2 minute max out for the timer? Ben or Axel, can we start a timer? Or maybe we might need one?
The timer's going, so we're at 1:48.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. It's not showing on my end. No worries. If there's no comment, we'll make that in green. And then we'll go to row six. And we generally adopted the TEFCA manner exception request. Is there anyone else that had comments on that, just adopting the language?
I think row six was just the general support. Are you looking at row seven, Michelle?
I think you have row six with the general support, and that's where I am right now.
All right, perfect. Sorry, misunderstood you.
Mm-hmm. No worries. So I don't see any comments for row six. If we can go down to row seven, please. Brian, can you see it, or is that large enough for you?
Oh, it's perfect.
Perfect. Okay. All right. I'll restart the timer for this one, please. So it's a requester preference exception.
Timer's going.
Okay, thank you. I'm not seeing any hands. All right, we'll stop the timer and go on to row eight.
So are you turning seven green?
Yes, we're going to turn seven green. Perfect. Since we don't see any comments or hands up. We'll move for the sake of time. row eight was a general consensus that we would accept the privacy exception. We could start the timer in case there was maybe 1 minute for this one. Uh-oh.
Oh.
Ben? Oh, there it is. Okay. Thank you, Ben. Okay, I will say that's green with the whole group. Section nine, row nine, we have 8 minutes to discuss this part here. I don't know, Ben, if you want to make E a little bit wider and J a little bit more narrow. Oops. So we can just see the comments in J. Okay. Nine was very, very big for the TEFCA exchange framework. I will defer to ONC to help clean up the comments after. It's a very long one. And so I wanted to have a full 8 minutes. And when you're done, Ben, do you want to start the timer and somehow show column J? Yikes.
Is that still legible for everybody? Or
It's legible on Lesson, but we've lost part of J. So can you make J narrow?
Gotcha.
The other side. I think
you the have other side of J. The go to the other side.
I gotcha. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
Bring away in.
Okay. Yeah, now we can scroll over.
We'll have to undo that for the next
problem. Yeah. All right.
Is that all of what's in E is now visible, or is there a scroll hidden?
Yes, all of E is visible.
Correct.
So, and let me know if you guys want to zoom in on just to get, if it's too small, just let me know and we can just sort of move back and forth. But yeah. And thank you for bearing with me on that.
No, that's fine, Ben. We had time. And don't forget to start the timer, please. It's a lot to read. I just wanted to make sure that we have some consensus. Thank you, Ben. So while reading, anyone have thoughts or recommendations based on our feedback? We can take out the line work group assignment assigned to Hans, Ike, and Chris. They definitely did provide their feedback. Are there any? Thank you, Ben. Yeah, are there any comments on the reference to rice in column E or RCE? Sorry, my apologies. Because this is a large piece of legislation, I just want to make sure everyone is in agreement. I don't see any hands at all. And no comments in the chat. For the sake of time and allowing Mark to go back over anything he wanted clarification on, we will stop. We will restart the timer and go to line 10. And we chose to adopt section 10. And Ben, can you undo everything? or move over to the left, to the right, please. Oh, Mark, you're good? All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we proposed updating the word surveillance to oversight. That was the only change that we asked in here to be made. We don't want to think that we're spying on anyone.
Yeah, or get it confused with public health surveillance.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Ben, can you scroll to the left just a little bit to show the comment for what we're... There we go. It's just administrative updates. Thank you, Ben. I'm not sure if we've made 5 minutes. It's just reading through the different proposals. So far, does anyone have any comments? Yes, go ahead.
I'm trying to find the surveillance reference. Which dot point is it in?
What section was that? All right, that section. Let's see. Surveillance. Yeah, the second bullet under the rule number expand points the ABC's responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it truly is not surveillance.
It's not surveillance.
So we should we might want to put in
we recommended what was the word? Overview? Or about, can you go to Jay just a little bit more, Ben, to the right?
Or was oversight.
Yeah, it was oversight. Instead of surveilling, it's oversight. And I think that's a better framing.
So just a single word replacement.
Just that, yes, single word
replacement. The only change to that sentence, okay.
Yes, that one sentence.
Right, because changing it to oversight helps resolve any issues or potential confusion with public health surveillance activities mm-hmm. without having to go into any greater explanation.
Yeah, and then there's a surveillance is used again at the end of, or in the next sentence too, so in both places. So you might want to put in the transmittal thing, you know, the full replacement mm-hmm. that we recommend to that.
The great call out.
Oh, three times. I see it again.
Three times. Yeah, it's for that one. It's for that anywhere where we were talking about ABC, ACB responsibilities. I'm not seeing it anywhere else in this. Yeah, it's just for that first bullet after the rule number. Okay, if there's nothing else, this concludes section 3. Back to you, Seth.
All right, celebratory clap. Appreciate everyone rapidly rifling through group 2 and 3 recommendations. So I'm going to suggest, just given how close we are to public comment, if it's okay with the chairs, if we move to public comment and then we can pivot back to to circle back on some of the group 2 recommendations with any remaining time.
That's fine with me.
All right, then we're going to move to the public comment portion of the agenda. So if you are participating on the Zoom today and would like to make a public comment, you can use the raise hand function, which is located on your Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you are participating by phone only today, you can press *9 to mute, to raise your hand. And then once called upon, you can press *6 to mute and unmute your line. And as we give folks a few seconds to queue up, just a reminder that we have two more full HTI2 proposed role task force meetings this week. And so our next task force meeting is tomorrow, September 4th, and we'll be starting at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and running through 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And as a reminder, all materials for the HITECH can be available on healthit.gov, including the material shared for today's call. So we have no one on the line, and I don't see any hands raised in the Zoom as well. So I'm going to turn it back, Mark, to you, and ask Sarah if you can go back to screen sharing the Google Doc for group two.
Seth,
yes.
I don't think we need any more time. We actually got through everything.
Okay. Great. All right. Then if we want to just, I guess, go back to the co-chairs to talk about any next steps.
Well, now I feel really challenged. We got you guys did such a great job, and now we've got a ton to get through on the public health side. So,
so I had some time added time in for tomorrow, which I will be gladly relinquishing to you. I want to propose a thought. For the ones that you weren't able to come to comment on, Mark, is there any way that the group could look at it using my time that I had yesterday, or at least touch on it a little bit for the ones that you hadn't even addressed, for the gray lines that you didn't have comment on?
And I feel like if we do have found time, and thank you guys so much, maybe we spend some time in the general comments as well, or make sure that we figure out a way that they can be. One challenge with overarching comments is that it's sometimes hard for ASTP to incorporate them into a final rule. So we may need to think carefully through where those overarching or general comments get made or proposed.
I think that's if we have time, an abundance of time, Mark, because Brian, your section is there, is rather large, but in abundance of time for Mark's section that did not get addressed at all, but those are proposed rules that came down. If we are able to at least high level review as a takeaway tonight for the group to go into section two, and where there isn't a green agreement for the entire team to see if we could help you come to agreement there, Mark.
Michelle, I'm okay. Okay,
my motivation to go faster so we have time to come back to those.
Yeah. I mean, maybe let's discuss during the debrief, because we did prioritize the areas that there was active feedback. So, yeah.
It's just some of the ones that were there actually affect my section. And so that's why I'm a little bit more reticent to say, let's give a swing at it, but we certainly can take that offline.
Sure. Yeah.
And I open up to the floor. If there's anyone that would just show by raise of hand would be interested in some homework on section two for the gray section.
Yeah. And I think there's that the same could be true in on the public health that has, you know, obvious overlap between G10 and G20. There may be things that public health, given time, would like to add a level of detail into the certification process so that some of the content validation gets brought down to a better level. Real world certification, as they say.
Yes, I concur. All right, I didn't see any hands, so we'll talk with it offline in the next meeting for the co-chairs. Thank you. Next steps, if we can go to the next slide, please. We will have an upcoming meeting tomorrow at 11 a.m. to 12:30 with the full task force to talk about Bryant's section under the first portion of the rule with the policy. We will meet again on 9/5 from 11 a.m. to 12:30 to discuss again the rest of Bryant's work. He had a day and a half, and I had some portion in 9/4 as well that I will concede. And then we will have a full high-tech meeting where we will deliver the full task force recommendations to high-tech on 9/12. Next slide, please. All right, Seth, since there are no questions, I will hand it back to you with 6 minutes left.
Thank you, everyone. Just a highlight for as we work through the next 2 days of task force meetings. So at the conclusion, based off of the full task force, the set of recommendations that are approved through the task force, ASTP will support the co-chairs in transitioning those into a set of slides and a transmittal letter. And that will be the final output from the task force. And that's what the co-chairs will be presenting at the September 12th meeting for consideration of the full Health IT Advisory Committee and ultimately a vote for approval of those recommendations to proceed on to ASTP. So just wanted to give just a little bit of highlight there on kind of what to expect once the task force concludes and coming to agreement on the recommendations in the Google Doc. I think with that, unless there are any other final comments from Mark or Bryant or Rochelle, we can adjourn the meeting.